Hello, everyone, and welcome to ESIP's Political Economy Podcast. My name is Fredrik Eriksson, and I am very pleased to be joined today by my colleague, Tengiz Pakaladze, a senior fellow here at ESIP, where he researches, among other things, economic and security policies in Eastern Europe. He's an academic with long experience from top positions in Georgia's civil service, and he closely follows Euro-Atlantic issues in the region. And this is what we're going to talk about today, namely developments in Moldova and Georgia, two countries on the path to membership in the EU, where important elections recently have been held. Tengiz, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
So, Tengiz, the past 2 weeks have featured two quite important elections in Moldova and Georgia, to put it mildly. Moldova has voted on its EU accession, and yesterday, we're recording this on November the 4th, I should say. So yesterday, the country also held a presidential election and seems to have returned President Maia Sandu for another 4 years in the presidency. Last weekend's election in Georgia, which officially re-elected the Georgian Dream Party, has been contested with pretty clear evidence of voter fraud. And in both countries, what seems to have been on the ballot is the question whether they should orient themselves to the EU and become full members of the Union. Do you think, Tengiz, is that a fair description of the elections? And can you walk us through what happened in them? Let's start in Moldova.
Yes, I think that that's quite a fair description of the situation, both Georgia and Moldova. And though in Moldova we had a referendum and election, and in Georgia only election, both cases are similar and related to those countries' geopolitical orientation and EU integration. Let's start with Moldova, as I think the Moldovan case was particularly important, especially considering the referendum and all the process and all the challenges Maia Sandu government faced, including preliminary results, very concerning results, questioning the choice of Moldovan people. Ultimately, Moldova adopted European path, and by congratulations, though that was a very narrow margin in the referendum favoring Europe. Maia Sandu also faced significant challenges in this election process, but she won. And this is crucial for country, for country's further development, as it opens more opportunities for the next steps, more reforms, more Europeization, democratization, and so on, so on. And as we know, negotiations with the European Union are open, and it's up to Moldova and Maia Sandu's government to demonstrate their progress through commitment, deliverables, and significant reforms. And though elections are over in Moldova, this process is continuous, as Moldova is, as we know, is a parliamentary republic, and in a few months they will hold another election for parliament, which is extremely important and maybe even more significant than the presidential one. And all the lessons from this referendum and presidential election should be taken into account, considering internal and external challenges and the potential for external forces to interfere in the election. And Moldova still faces substantial challenges, but once again, then completed a significant chapter and advanced their position toward the EU integration.
And speaking of Moldova here, Tengiz, do you think the presidential election this weekend, which seems to have resulted in a pretty clear win for Maia Sandu, do you think that is a sign in itself, compared, for instance, to the referendum on EU accession, that the country is determined to move ahead with its EU accession?
I would say that it proves that the majority of Moldovan society supports the EU integration process, and they have given Maia Sandu this mandate. But much work remains to be done to strengthen the readiness of society and the awareness of society to accelerate the EU integration process, deliver more visible results, and engage people in a more proactive way, and make this EU integration process visible and tangible to every citizen. And although Maya Sandu won the election, this narrow margin shows that the challenges she faced have not disappeared, and they may even increase, particularly during the upcoming parliamentary election. This is why Western-oriented political forces should learn from those processes and be better prepared for the parliamentary election. This election and process are not merely domestic affairs. They have geopolitical value and geopolitical implication for Moldova and Eastern Europe and this region as whole. So we must consider all internal and external challenges very, very carefully.
All right, so let's turn to Georgia and the election that took place there a little bit more than a week ago. So how would you describe the result of this election, and what's the situation now?
The situation in Georgia is even more complicated. This election reflects Georgia's ongoing political trajectory and a critical moment in its relationship with the EU and also with the United States. Never before has Georgia's European aspiration or its commitment to becoming a European country been questioned so strongly. And moreover, the recent report from the European Commission clearly states that Georgia's EU integration process is frozen due of mistakes and missteps by the Georgian government and the Georgian Dream Party. And it's paradoxically that, despite that, the Georgian Dream claims victory in this election and will hold power for the fourth term, which is really unprecedented in Georgian history. And despite their claim to victory, there is a widespread disappointment among public society and allegations of election fraud. And I would highlight that more than 23,000 observers, Georgian domestic observers, mostly volunteers, monitored the process very close, and plus international observers. So this led to extensive documentation of irregularities by the election commissions and ruling party. Georgia now faces both internal and external legitimacy challenges. So internally, a significant portion of society feels disappointed disputes the election results, and that led to the street protests as well. Externally, only a few countries, including Hungary, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Venezuela, have recognized the election, and nobody from other European countries and the United States. So it's very important to note that two reputable international organizations conducting exit polls, it's X-Harris and Edison Research, and the differences between the exit poll results and the official results were substantial, about 14%. And the statement from those exit poll conducting organizations, they claimed that it was statistically impossible for the official result, as declared by the electoral commissions, to be accurate. Additionally, political parties that participate in the election, and they declared that they will reject their seats in parliament, and altogether significantly call into question the legitimacy of the new parliament. And the most important, president of Georgia has officially declared the election as fraud, stating that she will not recognize the elections, the result of elections. And Georgia's key strategic partners urged the ruling party to provide international access to review and investigate all the election process and review election data. So this has made the situation highly complex and highly uncertain. Street protests continues, and it's hard to predict where this process will lead. On the one hand, we see society committed to European values. Now, on the other hand, parliamentary election result that indicates different picture. Now it's up to Georgian society and political forces to decide whether to legitimize this election, and it's on them how the process will continue.
It sounds like a very complicated situation indeed. And as you pointed to, apart from the internal turbulence in Georgia right now, with the remarkable situation that the president is not approving the outcome of the election because of alleged fraud, we also have a development in Brussels, of course, where Georgia's accession to the EU has been suspended. Nothing has basically moved. And there are serious questions that Brussels have raised over the extent to which that Georgia can move under the current government or the government they had before the election. So how would you sort of tie these two things together? I suppose my question is, to what extent do you think that developments in the accession negotiations are going to have an influence on different outcomes, different scenarios that you can see happening in Georgia now?
That's a crucial question. As in Moldova, the issues in Georgia go beyond internal disputes and have a broader geopolitical implication. Last year, decision by the EU to grant candidate status to Georgia was wise and geopolitically very timely and very important, as it limited opportunities for Russian propaganda that suggests that Europe would never open its doors to Georgia. Now, Georgians understand and they see that their future lies in their own hands. The door to the EU is open, and Georgians have to decide whether to enter. That means they must protect their European choice, and this is extremely important. At the same time, the question remains, is the situation only temporary frozen, or should we expect further problems and deterioration in the relationship between the EU and Georgia? If Georgian Green Party continues its current approach in the government, and all of Georgia's progress in EU integration could be at risk. Once again, EU quite firmly state the process is frozen. So discussions are already underway in Brussels about potentially suspending visa-free for Georgian citizens and re-evaluating relationship and important EU programs in developments, security, cyber defense and other areas, institutional building and so on, they are questioned and cut or suspended. Countries, they declared that they will revise process of relationship with Georgia. Sweden, one of the Georgia's major supporters and partners, has already announced cut ties with the Georgian government. So this situation is extremely critical and problematic for both Georgia and the EU as well, as Georgia has long been a reform front-runner and committed to European values and a contributor to European development and security. So project with the European Union, like the Middle East-West Transport Corridor or another energy security or fiber optic initiatives with potential to be transported in the wider digital support and digital Silkway, all based on trust and shared values between the partners, are now threatened. If the fundamental values and the ground of this relationship are questioned, so are all achievements Georgia has made. On the other side, the United States also plays a role in this, as Washington has indicated it may resist its relationship with Georgia, and impose sanctions against Georgian officials are. They are still considered, I mean, further sanctions. These developments are alarming for Georgia and its international partners, as Georgia's geographic position makes it vital to European security and stability.
The perspective you raise now, Tengiz, I think it also prompts the question related to what I ask, which is, to what extent do you think the conditions within Georgia for making broad geopolitical choices about its futures will be influenced by decisions in Brussels and perhaps in Washington, D.C., as you just alluded to, because it seems to me that the current Georgian government, under the Georgian Dream government, like many other governments over the past couple of years, they have believed that they have multiple choices and that choices aren't colliding with each other. They have talked up the prospect of joining the EU at the same time as they have entertained a geopolitical orientation which is sort of pretty confrontational to that broad Euro-Atlantic orientation, especially when it comes to collaborations with Moscow, of course. They've had the freedom tact without impunity because there has been tolerance on the part of Western powers in order to basically argue that, well, you know, this is a turbulent process, but in the long run, we think Georgia is going to make the right choices and they're going to make the choice to orient themselves closer to us. But as with everything in history, things don't last forever. And it may get to a point where you can't act without impunity anymore, which is that Western governments are going to start to make choices that have detrimental consequences for Georgia itself. And if they start to make these choices, as you just outlined, on pulling resources, pulling away from frameworks of collaborations on cybersecurity, on digital, on energy, perhaps they're going to start to annul existing economic frameworks that exist as well. Do you think all this would have a consequence on Georgia and how people in Georgia will reason around the questions of geopolitical choices that they have to make?
This is a very important question and the major concern for Georgian society, which very well understands these challenges and sees the recent election as a referendum on the country's future. That's why protest continues to draw large crowds. The Georgian Dream Party has, I think, overestimated the geopolitical value of the Middle Corridor and situation that has developed following Russia's aggression against Ukraine. On the one hand, it's true that significance of the Georgia and the Middle Corridor has increased. However, we must remember, and the Georgian government should remember, that all this importance comes from the unwavering support of the West countries to Georgia's state, Georgia's security, and the West and the European Union, United States, they invested in development of infrastructure and institutions, and they invested in this corridor. And without the Western support, this corridor would never exist. So Georgia doesn't have, I would say, many geopolitical options. So there is no geopolitical option since independence. It's developed as a European country, aspiring to join the European family. Right now, there isn't geopolitical alternative to Georgia. Either it becomes a European independent democracy, functional democracy, or it risks falling under Russia's influence once again and become Russia's backyard. And Georgian society is unlikely to accept any shift in geopolitical alignment. And the entire economy is highly integrated with Europe, making any shift extremely challenging without drastic and painful measures. This isn't just about parliamentary seats. It's about the country's future. It's about the future of society. I don't believe that there is a society that would easily give up and accept such drastic political changes. When it comes to the action or reaction of our partners, the country's destiny ultimately depends on the will of its people and citizens. If Georgian society demonstrates that they will fight for the country's European future, if they show their commitment and readiness to protect the country's development as a European democracy, I mean by all constitutional means, that I believe Brussels and the United States and all other Georgian partners must be extremely supportive of Georgia's aspiration. At the same time, we are dealing with significant portion of challenges from Russian influence, disinformation, and financial manipulation, which are very active in Georgia. My message to the West is that as long as Georgian society shows its commitment to European values, they should not be left alone or abandoned.
So finally, Tengiz, moving back to Moldova, and perhaps continue with the conversation we just had on Georgia and different attitudes and approaches that European government as well as Brussels can take towards Moldova. Do you think going into a parliamentary election season in Moldova now, are there more things that Europe can do in order to command more authority over the politics in the region and help EU-oriented forces to have a stronger case to make when they go to the polls now again?
I think that's extremely important now to clearly demonstrate the benefits of European integration, as Moldova has already reached a more advanced level on this process. People of Moldova, the citizens, need to understand and feel tangible benefits this integration brings. This isn't just about political statements. Every citizen voting for the country's future should know exactly what European integration means. What does that mean to him, to their children, future, and so on. I believe the EU has enough mechanisms to effectively widen its soft power in Moldova, especially among the younger generation who are strongly committed to the European path. Supporting Maia Sandu's government through economic reform, developing new programs in education and enhancing infrastructure is essential. At the same time, it's critical to support the government in countering external threats and hybrid threats, such as disinformation and psychological operations conducted by Russia, particularly around sensitive areas like Transnistria or Gagauzia, to prevent any escalation or conflict. Of course, much also depends on Ukraine, as situation in Moldova and Georgia and in all this Eastern European region and security of whole Europe are ultimately linked to development in Ukraine. And supporting Ukraine in this struggle is essential to prevent Russia from creating new dividing lines in Europe and to avoid the reemergence of Iron Curtain.
All right, Tengiz, I think we are going to end the podcast here. It's been, as always, extraordinarily interesting to talk to you about these developments. And this is history unfolding in real time. And I am 100% sure that we are going to return to these issues very soon again. So thank you so much, Tengiz.
Thank you so much for this great opportunity.